It's also there is a tremendous lesson for us, and that verse in Zechariah 4:6 comes to mind. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. In the English language, it's 8 words that this man uttered. Sometimes to bring the point home, and I'm the first guilty of it, you feel that you have to take the 45 minutes to bring it home. Because we lose sight that it is by the Spirit of the Lord. 8 words, whole city repented. 8 words. That yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a tremendous lesson. That when something is uttered in the company or outside the company, like a company like this, and we are doing it by the help and the Spirit of God, it's going to have a tremendous impact. And if we try to do things or preach the gospel or whatever, teach with the energy of men, we can do it in an hour and nothing was received. They didn't get it. But how wonderful to see Jonah in few words. And this is the only time, as far as verse 3, was an exceeding great city. The Spirit of God uses the word exceeding a great city. In preaching the gospel, coming to Brother the comment earlier, when we preach the gospel, the Lord was the perfect example. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, right? He spoke of the love of God, but he spoke also of the judgment to come. And sometimes the Spirit of God would use either this or that or together, but it is, if it is by the Spirit of God, it's going to bring forth fruit.
It's 5 words in the Hebrew. After,
I know.
You could do that. Five words. And again, just I wonder if that was in the mind of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he spoke about 5 words was understanding. 5 words in the power of the Spirit of God. 5 words was understanding. And I think it's a humbling lesson to all of us. How many words I have expressed right now to say they are 5 words.
Jesus said to the people, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. But now that Jonah is in Nineveh, we can quote what he said to the people in Luke, that Jonah was now a sign to the Ninevites. Why? Because Jonah is now on resurrection ground. He was in the belly of the fish. He comes out of the belly of the fish. He's on resurrection ground. And so the preaching to the city had a greater impact. Because first, in chapter 1, he was just going to cry unto them. But now, having gone through the experience of the belly of the fish, he is now a sign to them that the God that he is, who sent him to preach, is the God of resurrection.
We read in verse 3 that the city is a 3 days walk. This is the size of the city. It doesn't mean it takes 3 days from where Jonah was to walk to get to the city. That's not what that means. It means that if you entered the border of the city, it would take you 3 days to walk around it. That's how significant the size of it was. I don't know too many modern day cities that big, but this was a very large city. And we read that he walked only 1 day's walk in verse 4. So he only went through 1/3 of the city, and he only spoke 5 Hebrew words. I don't know if he spoke Hebrew to them, but or Aramaic maybe. Okay. Some Semitic language they could understand him. But brief, very brief message. And you say, now how can this possibly be that an entire city, and we're not given the total number, at the end we're given some information, but how can that be that a whole city would repent? I think Jonah's preaching accomplished more than any one preacher has ever done at one moment in the history of mankind. I cannot think of anyone that had such an impact being used of God. And here's the sad thing. He was reluctant to do it. Most who would say, wow, look at this. People are responding to the word of the Lord that has been given through me. But Jonah, he's this reluctant servant. But think about the power behind the word when it's the word of God. And I'd like to just repeat what you had said, John, that it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. It's because the Spirit of God had given the words to Jonah to say. This is what the Lord gave him in verse 2. Tell them what I will tell you to say. And that's what he did. And so you can see that I would imagine that a third perhaps heard it and they repeated it. They repeated it to the other two-thirds of the city. The message was spread beyond even Jonah's own saying it. And this is how the word of God often spreads. It starts out just a little, but it's the truth, and it spreads. There is a man here. He says in 40 days, destruction is coming. We got to repent. And it reaches the king's ear. It reaches the king's ear. That's how powerful that message was. I don't believe that the king was necessarily present when Jonah said the words, but it reached his ear. Somehow it reached his ear, and he had an impact on the rest of the people.
What is amazing is to consider now, I think it's the perfect timing, when the Spirit of God is doing the work. Is now Nineveh, we heard earlier a little bit of its history, and the Assyrians, but there were two features of the Assyrians that is in our days as well. They were very, very violent, and they were very, very corrupt. Okay? Very, very violent, and very, very corrupt. The same two features characterized Noah's days, and these two features still characterize our days. So we can rest assured that sooner or later, this world that so many of us will put our hopes into is going to be overthrown. But the message remains the same, that when it is preached and presenting the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God, that individual, I'm going to take an individual because that was the whole city as well, that individual that is full of corruption and full of violence will be saved because it's a work of God. What was the response? This is the greatness of the grace of God. That first thing, they believed. They trusted what God said through Jonah. The second thing I like is this is a most challenging lesson for the saints of God, is they proclaimed the fast. In simplicity, they denied self. And this is one of the greatest lessons that we as Christians have to learn, is to deny self. When we deny self, then Christ will be the prominent one.
But that's a preaching that is really missed also in our days. Preaching of the judgment to come. And that is somehow we are afraid to offend anybody. We don't want to bring, and that would do no justice to the word of God and does no justice to man either when we do not, in a plain, in a simple way, speaks of the judgment of God that is coming upon the world if they do not repent. That is what Jonah have said. He, again, it's amazing. It's a drive-through preaching, actually, one day. He just went, zipped through one day, and he said it, and he went out. Whoever wanted to hear it, and whoever doesn't want to hear it, it doesn't matter. But the Spirit of God used those five words to impact the heart of every person in there. When man was brought, I think, who was it who preached? Is it Jonathan Edwards? Sinners in the hand of an angry God. And people say, oh, this is not the modern day. We should not preach like that. Speak of the love of God and the grace of God. We speak of the love of God and the grace of God. But here it is. It is sinners in the hand of an angry God, because that day will come when they will stand before him and they will say to the mountain, cover us from the wrath of the Lamb. There is a judgment coming. And the Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Jonah knows the terror of the Lord. He saw it when he was in the battle, in the bottom of, in the valley of the well, of the whale. He saw the terror of the Lord. And as a result, when he came out, he was persuading men to flee from the wrath to come.
All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, Scripture says. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. So there's a great day coming for this world. But we're looking for the world to come.